heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. You know, it's the second Sunday of Lent this weekend, and the Transfiguration is always the gospel lesson for the second Sunday of Lent, and it's taken from the respective synoptic gospel highlighted in the current liturgical cycles. So year A, we hear it from St. Matthew, year C from St. Luke, and this being year B, of course, we hear it from St. Mark. Now, the Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Lent is always from the story of Abraham from the book of Genesis. Year A is the call of Abraham from Genesis 12. Year C is the establishing of the Abrahamic covenant from Genesis 15. And this year, the reading is of the Akedah. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but the Akedah, the binding of Isaac from Genesis 22. Now, I have to admit, there's enough to contemplate in this mysterious, wonderful, and terrible story to keep us thinking and talking and wondering for days, weeks, months, or even a lifetime in this story of Abraham going to sacrifice his son Isaac. But what can we glean from it in these few short minutes, especially as it's matched up in our liturgy with the Transfiguration? Well, one observation I would offer. So picture it from Abraham's perspective. He's at no loss to recognize who Isaac is. He is the child of the promise. He is the means that God himself provided by which Abraham would become the father of countless children and a blessing to all nations. He is the supreme consolation that God has given to him personally. And he's also the living proof of God's fidelity to his covenant. Knowing this, Abraham must have been all the more confounded by this command that God gives him to go and sacrifice him. And yet, Genesis doesn't speak of Abraham's confusion or of his anger or the turmoil going on in his soul. Genesis just simply says that Abraham believed God and was obedient to God, despite the presence of all these other things, confusion and anger and turmoil in his soul. All right, so let's flip over to the Transfiguration here. What do we see in the Transfiguration? Well, we see, of course, Jesus transfigured, and he's speaking with Moses and Elijah. And all of this is going on to the wonder and the terror, and that's what the gospel says, they were terrified, the terror of Peter, James, and John. In this one glorified moment, Jesus becomes, again, the living proof that God is being faithful to the Abrahamic covenant and all of the covenants he has made. His covenants with, for example, Noah, his covenant with David, all of his covenants throughout the Old Testament to his people Israel. Peter, James, and John must have felt not only this wonder and this terror in the Transfiguration, right, but also a huge reassurance. A reassurance because, remember, they had given up everything. They had given up families. They had given up livelihoods, all of that they knew, really, to follow this rabbi, thinking that, yes, perhaps this is the Messiah. And this Transfiguration offers them this reassurance that, yes, Jesus is the divine Messiah, as Peter would later testify, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in the Gospel of Mark, specifically, the Transfiguration is really the hinge of the Gospel. See, just before this account, that's when Jesus starts talking about his impending suffering and death. And Peter's response was to hear this and then to rebuke Jesus, right? To take him aside and rebuke him. And it was likely, this rebuke was likely born out of confusion and anger and turmoil, right? Similar to Abraham's. What do you mean you're going to die? You're the Messiah. You can't die. And this rebuke actually prompts Jesus' response, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. So then, just after that, comes the transfiguration. And this transfiguration that, again, offers this reassurance that tries to instill in Peter that same faith of Abraham, to come to trust that God's ways are indeed not our ways, and that our obedience to what God commands us to do is always worth it. So my question to you, my dear brothers and sisters, this Lent is, where are you in all of this? Are there some confusing, some confounding, some angering, some upsetting, some things that are causing turmoil in your soul and your life you just can't figure out, you just can't understand? Do they tempt you to doubt God's ways? I know I've had these, certainly, frequently. Or worse, do they even lead you away from God? Do they lead you away from the faith? Well, don't do it. Don't submit. Don't go away from God. Don't move away from the faith. This weekend, see the transfigured Lord and see him through the eyes of Peter, James, and John. Hear that voice of the Father. And then humbly submit yourself to God, to the transfigured Lord, and to his ways. Because when we do that, glory awaits. All right, we got a great show in store for you again today. First off, we're gonna hear from Bishop Cousins. Maria Wearing sat down with Bishop Cousins, a little bit more on insights into the practices and meaning of Lent. A little bit later on, Father Tom Margavishes is back with us to explain to us an upcoming series of talks called Cup of Joe. Look forward to hearing about that. And then finally, Tom Halden is going to sit down with Bishop Donald DeGruden. We're going to catch up with him after his first year of his episcopate. So let's begin, as always, with a word of prayer, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, first up, Maria Wearing sat down with Bishop Cousins for his monthly Bishop's segment. So let's have a listen to that.
Hello, Bishop Cousins. Thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic again.
It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for having me, Maria. I'm delighted. Doing very well in this cold Minnesota winter we got going.
I'm glad to hear that. So here we are at the beginning of Lent. So today we're going to talk about the Lent's threefold focus: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So can you start at the origins? What are we called to do when we're called to fast, pray, and give alms during the Lenten season?
Yeah, the Lenten season is a great opportunity, really a privileged season of grace that the Church gives us to help bring about our deeper conversion. And it's kind of a recognition that we're all fallen and we're all sinners. And so we enter into what was the tradition in the early church, what we call the order of penitence. This is what the ashes symbolize that we had on Ash Wednesday, that we are becoming members of the order of penitence. That is, we're all acknowledging that we're sinners and that we need conversion. And so Lent is really this privileged time of year that the Lord gives us to be able to experience that deeper conversion of heart. I love the way Pope Francis said it in his homily on Ash Wednesday. He said, you know, it's not just about making a little sacrifice here or there. It's about looking at the fundamental conversion of our heart. And where is my heart headed? And is my heart really set on the Lord? And what are the ways my heart is not set on the Lord? And all of the disciplines of Lent have that goal, to try to help me discern where my heart needs to be purified so that I can be more given to the Lord and belong more to him at the end of Lent.
So why fasting, prayer, and almsgiving? Why those three things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, because this addresses all of the aspects of our spiritual life, you know? So both our body, our soul, and then really the way that we live in the world. And so first and foremost is the importance of prayer, right? really, Lent is about growing in my relationship with God. And so even the discipline that I do of my bodies is really a way to open up my heart to receive Him. I discipline my body. I fast from things in this world so that I might experience that I wasn't made for this world and that I'm made for God. And so I allow myself to experience physical hunger so that I get in touch with the deeper spiritual hunger in my heart. And all the saints teach us this, and that as you experience these deprivations of the body, the soul comes more to life, and I begin to be more spiritually attentive, which is one of the great goals behind this fasting of Lent. So fasting is going to help me address my body, and the prayer is going to help me open my soul to God so I can grow more in relationship with Him. And then it's the almsgiving that allows me to make more a gift of myself. So the point of Lent is not self-perfection, right? It's not just to make myself better. It's actually to make me more like Jesus, which means that I give myself more. And the saints speak about this as well, the beautiful purity of heart that comes when we find ways to make a gift of ourselves through almsgiving, not just money, but even our time and our energy.
So we just experienced Ash Wednesday and the penitential aspect of that fast. But how can we feel that penitential aspect each day to make one more conscious of our need to grow?
Yeah, I think that's a very important aspect of Lent. There's supposed to be some sacrifice that we make, some kind of fasting that we make throughout the season of Lent that we do feel each day. You know, whatever that might be, whether that's, you know, sometimes that's giving up sweets, sometimes that's choosing to eat less, sometimes that's some penitential practice that I might do every day, like pray the rosary every day. But there's supposed to be some way which Lent is different from the rest of the year. And so I have a daily practice of Lent that allows me to remember that this is a special time. It's a special season. We're supposed to feel it right when we get up in the morning, you know, oh, it's Lent. And in this time of Lent, I'm not supposed to live just like I do the rest of the year. And so I make some daily sacrifice, whatever that might be, that lets me feel the pinch and reminds me that it's special, that this time is meant to be more given to the Lord.
How might a Catholic discern the best sacrifice to make?
You know, it's really something important to pray about and to experiment with. I usually tell people this: if your Lenten penance, if you didn't fail in your Lenten penance during the season of Lent, then you didn't pick something hard enough. It's so, if it's just something that's easy for you to do, you know, one of my priest friends jokes that he gives up watermelon every year for Lent. And, you know, but if it's just something that's easy for me to do, then I'm probably not trying hard enough. And it's actually okay to fail at my Lenten penance. So to find something that will be challenge me and that I might fail at. And then, of course, in that failure, I learn something else, which is that I can't do it on my own and that I need God. And I learn about the beauty of how God comes to meet me in my failure and loves me in my failure and accepts my repentance. So making a discipline prayerfully that will challenge me, that won't be so easy I can just do it without thinking, but that I will, in fact, allow me to grow. And so, again, if the discipline, you know, makes me so grumpy and upset that I can't care for my children or I can't be kind to the people I work with, well, that would be an imprudent discipline as well.
Do you have any advice for the person that maybe is, you know, I think maybe there's, you mentioned kind of the underachiever, like I'm going to give up watermelon, but what about the people who are going to do all the things? They're finally going to get a really disciplined prayer life and make sure they give tons of money to charities. And, you know, that maybe just to have unrealistic expectations of what can happen over the course of Lent as well.
Yeah, it's good to remember that we are not angels, but we're limited human beings. And so therefore, we have to, even in our desire to do something for God, accept our limits. And so I usually recommend to kind of look over your life and to say, well, what's one area that I really need help in, you know? maybe a sports analogy could be helpful. So, you know, if you were going to work on your golf game, there might be lots of ways in which my golf swing is bad, but there's probably one area that really needs work. And so pick that area and allow that, try to work on that one thing because it's going to really help. Maybe it's daily prayer. I really just need to work on the habit of making some time every day to read scripture or to pray the rosary. Or maybe it is in the area of disciplining my appetites. I really just need to have less time in social media and less time on the computer. Or maybe it is in the area of food or whatever it is. What's one thing I can do that will make a big difference, but that is something I can realistically try to do, even though it won't be easy?
That's great advice. So how can I grow in my relationship with God by spending more time in prayer over during Lent? Do you have some specific directions there?
I've got some great practical advice, but of course the key is simply that you try to do it, right? just by spending time where you set aside everything else that you're doing, you set aside your phone, you set aside all of the other things, and you focus on God alone for maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Just to do that and to put the energy into doing that will make a huge difference. Doesn't really matter what you do in that 15 or 20 minutes. God will meet you there. Mm-hmm. But there are wonderful things you can do, and there are beautiful daily devotionals that are often produced for Lent that might provide a scripture passage that you could read every day. I would highly recommend that you go to the Archdiocesan Synod webpage and you check out our Praying with Scripture series, which is a 5-week course on how to pray with Scripture. If you haven't done that yet, that would be a great thing to do during Lent. Once a week, you could watch the talk that's given by Archbishop Hebdo or myself on basics of prayer. And then you could spend 20 minutes a day following the guides that are right there on the website and grow in your own personal relationship of prayer through that very practical guide. But whatever you do, the key is finding the time and making the time a priority. God will bless whatever you do in that time.
I'm so glad you mentioned that resource, Praying with Scripture, because even though it wasn't made for Lent, really it lends itself so well to this, the time, and it's wonderful that it's our bishops. It's something that was made by our local church for our local Catholics. So how can I also be generous and just get out of myself during Lent? Not so much navel-gazing about my own sacrifices, maybe even complaining about the things I gave up for Lent. And do you have ideas there? And maybe even how we might encourage encourage others to come back to Mass at this time in the church's year?
Yeah, I do think that part of the key to a good Lent is the almsgiving aspect, and that is doing some act of service or generosity towards others. And I think what you mentioned is a great thing to think about, which is one of the great struggles during the pandemic has been for people to be able to get to Mass. And a lot of people haven't come back to Mass yet. And maybe they're afraid to come back, or maybe they're just finding themselves busy with other things. What a great thing it would be if Catholics would reach out to each other and let's help each other get back to Mass this Lent. Of course, we can do that in a safe way, in a socially distant way, and we've seen that our Masses are not dangerous places, or they're not super spreader events for the virus. But to encourage others to invite your friends back to Mass, or invite your friends to participate in some activity, spiritual activity with you this Lent, that can be a great thing. Maybe it's just doing the drive-through fish fry with some friends who maybe have been alone, or bringing that fish fry to someone who needs it. But try to think of some creative ways to get out of yourself, because again, that generosity purifies the heart and opens me more to God.
You brought up the pandemic that we're still in the midst of, and I think you've probably heard others say this as well, that it feels in some respects like it's been a long Lent this whole last year. We began the shutdown here in Minnesota during Lent, and here we are in Lent again. And I'm just wondering if you think that there's particular insights that maybe people can look to in their own lives from this time that they can really try to bring to prayer during Lent this year.
Yeah, I think it's a very important lesson that we always, whenever we experience some struggle or trial or difficulty, that we try to learn to see that the way God sees it. And that's one of the things Lent wants to teach us, is that suffering and trials can be a blessing and that God works through them. You know, it's one of the stunning things about our Lord. When he comes to save us, he doesn't wipe out suffering. He actually enters into suffering and he transforms it from within into an act of love. That's not our natural reaction in suffering. Our natural reaction is that we turn in on ourselves when we experience suffering. And of course, as the pandemic goes on longer and longer, that's what we're all tempted to do, to kind of give in to the isolation and despair and turn in on ourselves. But in fact, God's allowing this pandemic and he is actually working through it. And he invites us to see it the way we see the season of Lent, which is a season of renewal and conversion and an opportunity to draw closer to him and to use the sufferings that come as part of that. So let's ask, especially this Lent, that we might be able to see even the difficulties of the world that we're living in right now as part of what God is allowing in order to purify our hearts and draw us closer to him.
Before we go, I'm wondering if you have any memories of a particular Lent that brought you closer to the Lord, and what was it then that stirred something in you?
You know, I've always looked forward to Lent ever since I became an adult. In some ways, maybe I'm strange, but I think it's my favorite time of year simply because of the gift of the spiritual intensity of the time. And so really, it's been in those seasons of Lent where I've focused especially on my life of prayer and strengthening that life, that I was able to grow through it. It did happen many years ago. I gave up television for Lent, and I stopped watching weekly television, basically. And what I found is that I never went back. It just changed my life, you know. And it's not that I never watch a program here or there, but it just became that I didn't need it as a part of my life. And I found I read more books. I did other things that I liked to do even more. And so sometimes having that discipline of giving up something that we think we like, but then we realize, oh, it isn't affecting my life in a healthy way, and I can move on to better things.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for these insights and helping us live our Lent well as well this year. Before we go now, would you give us a blessing, please?
You bet. May the blessing of Almighty God descend upon each of you, especially in this season of Lent, and draw you closer to our Lord, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bishop Cousins, and a blessed Lent to you.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Bishop Cousins. We look forward to hearing more from both of them in future episodes of Practicing Catholic. As for now, let's go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Father Tom Margavish is with us for a little bit of Cup of Joe for you just after this. So stay with us.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you in souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic, and our next guest is Father Tom Margavish is with us again. He's the Associate Pastor of Latino Ministry at Risen Savior Parish in Burnsville, and he's also the Director of the Archdiocesan Office of Worship. Father, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I'm most happy to be with you again.
It's always great to have you. Thank you, Father. And today we're talking about little cup of Joe is what I understand, which is fantastic because I'm sipping on my coffee even in between asking questions here. I wanted to know, Father, give us a little bit, before we really even get into what it is and to make it available to people, why don't you start out by telling us, where did the idea for this come from?
Well, the Archbishop decided that the second year of the Archdiocesan Synod would be dedicated under the special patronage of Saint Joseph.
Right.
And so a special prayer to Saint Joseph was composed already back last summer, 2020, as well as an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary pregnant with Jesus and Saint Joseph guarding watchfully over her. So that we put out these little holy cards with the prayer of Saint Joseph. But then as the fall continued on, Archbishop Hebda started receiving more and more requests from the faithful to say, how about consecrating an entire year to Saint Joseph, not just for the synod, but the entire archdiocese? So Archbishop Hebda finally conceded to that, and then he decided that it would last from December 8th, 2020 through December 8th, 2021. This was last December was the 150th anniversary of when Pope Pius IX declared Saint Joseph the patron of the universal Catholic Church. So we have this already in the works, and Archbishop Hebda woke up on December 8th and found out that Pope Francis did the exact same thing. We had
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right?
We had no idea he was planning to consecrate the entire church this year as St. Joseph year, much less the exact same dates we picked. And so it's just a beautiful working of the Holy Spirit. So then the Archbishop said, Father Margavichus, why don't you help a group of our lay faithful as a committee to put together some ideas, some plans of how our archdiocese might best observe this year of St. Joseph. So we got together and started a meeting and coming up with different ideas and plans, and it's out of that committee that this Cup of Joe idea emerged.
Okay, all right, great. Well, again, just so wonderful that indeed the Holy Spirit, it's kind of a sign of the Holy Spirit's really moving and working, right? When you get that kind of exacting correspondence and coincidence, which probably doesn't even exist anyway. So wonderful to hear that. All right, so now take us into Cup of Joe. As much as I love a cup of coffee any time of day or even sometimes at night, I understand that that's not exactly what we're talking about here. What is Cup of Joe, Father?
Sure. Well, first of all, I will give our listeners a little homework and admit that I didn't do any Google research about where the term Cup of Joe comes from. We all know it refers to a cup of coffee. Is that sort of a retake on the name Java, where some coffee beans had grown? I don't know. In any case, we're familiar with the phrase, the idiom, Cup of Joe. What the idea came to us about, can we invite our faithful to visit various parishes honoring St. Joseph throughout this year of St. Joseph? So we looked in our archdiocesan records, and there are 9 active parishes currently named for St. Joseph.
Okay.
There is also 1 religious order, the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet.
Sure. They're
the ones who founded St. Joseph's Hospital, and they also founded St. Kate's University, and many of the sisters still live there on campus. So there are 10 locations. The month of March is typically devoted to St. Joseph. So between March and December of this year, there are 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lo and behold, Father Donald Calloway wrote this book called Consecration to St. Joseph.
Yeah, yeah.
And that book has what he terms 10 wonders of our spiritual father. Just 10 chapters when he looks at various aspects of Joseph in his life in the church. He was the spiritual father, the virginal father of Jesus. He was a silent witness, as you know. We have no recorded words of Joseph in the gospel. He's also been called the patron of a happy death. So there are 10 titles of St. Joseph that Father Calloway's book puts together. So the thought came to me, let's invite 10 local theologians to do a meditation on those 10 particular wonders in the 10 parishes and the Sisters of St. Joseph during the 10 months that remain in the year of this year of St. Joseph.
That's brilliant. I love it. So, okay.
So we thought, during pandemic has been tough on slogging through Zoom meetings. And we realized that none of us likes to go on a Zoom call for more than about 15 or 20 minutes.
That's about right.
And we've also realized that the remarkable fame of the TED Talks that many of us have seen, they also limit their talks to 16, 18 minutes,
Mm-hmm.
So it seems as though the research out there is that is a good amount of time. Coincidentally, it's about the time that most of us take for a coffee break, 15 to 20 minutes in the middle of our morning or in the middle of our afternoon. So we thought, let's invite these 10 local theologians to do a 15 to 20 minute presentation on that particular wonder, and we would post that at coffee break time, the first Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. of every month. So the
Wonderful.
First one is going to be Tuesday, March 2nd at 4 p.m., the first Cup of Joe, and the first theologian giving his 15 to 20 minute presentation on Joseph under the first wonder that Father Calloway's book gives it, Joseph, the Delight of Saints.
All right. And do I have it right that you are that first theologian, Father?
You do indeed have that right.
Okay, very good. And you're going to be in the location in West St. Paul, is that right?
That's correct.
St. Joseph's in West St. Paul. Yeah, wonderful. This is a brilliant idea. I love it. And I love the fact that, like you said, it's just a little bite-sized chunk there. It's not, committing yourself for an hour, but sitting down, a good excuse to pour yourself a cup of coffee, which I don't know that you ever need an excuse, but there it is if you need it. And then to grow in your understanding of, your appreciation of, your honor of, and your imitation of St. Joseph through these wonderful presentations. All right, so can you give us a little heads up into what some of the other presenters are and what they're going to be talking about?
Sure. We wanted to keep it local, to keep it an archdiocesan effort. The second, do you want me to go through all the remaining 9 couples?
Sure, yeah, why not?
Okay, sure, all right. The month of April, the wonder in Father Calloway's book is called Joseph, Our Spiritual Father. And the theologian we'll be presenting that is Dr. Deborah Savage. She is a professor at the University of St. Thomas, and she's done a lot of work in the complementarity of the sexes. She's an expert on John Paul II's theology of the body and about the importance of fathers in the life of the family.
Yeah.
That's going to be happening at St. Joe's in Lino Lakes. Oh, the first one, by the way, is at St. Joseph's in West St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The month of May, well, since March, May 1st is the Feast of Joseph the Worker, we're, of course, going to St. Joseph the Worker Parish in Maple Grove.
Nice.
The theologian be presenting that is Father Evan Koop. The name of the wonder is Joseph, Young Husband of Mary.
Perfect.
That's an interesting choice because Father Calloway points out that many traditional depictions of St. Joseph show him as an old man, probably bald and gray-bearded, kind of a gentle grandfatherly type. The desire to portray Joseph in that way is probably motivated out of a desire to protect the perpetual virginity of Mary, the thought being that a grandfatherly man would be less tempted or less a temptation himself, but not all saints have felt that way. Among those such as Saint Jose Maria Escriva, he said explicitly, I don't agree with the traditional depiction of Joseph as an old man. I think he was athletic, young, virile, maybe a couple years older than Mary, but very much in the prime of his life.
Wow, okay.
So Father Evan Koop is finishing up his doctorate degree on the Blessed Virgin Mary. So what kind of woman would have this kind of a man as a husband? So it's a wonderful combination there.
Yeah.
The month of June, Joseph, the Virginal Father of Jesus. That presenter is going to be Kelly Walquist.
Nice.
She is the president of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute and also the founder of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. So she certainly understands about the role of husband and wife in family life. And inasmuch as Mary was the virginal mother of Jesus, St. Augustine says, Joseph was the virginal father of Jesus. That presentation will be at St. Joseph's Parish in Red Wing. For the month of July, the title of St. Joseph as the Just and Reverent Man will be presented at St. Joe's Parish in New Hope. We know that the Gospels say Joseph was a just man, yet unwilling to expose Mary to shame. Since that term, just man, is a biblical reference, a biblical title of St. Joseph, we're going to have a scripture scholar come in. Father Kelvin Zilverberg teaches scripture at the St. Paul Seminary, one of the most brilliant scripture people I've ever met, and he will be speaking on that in the month of July.
Nice. Father, you know what? I'm gonna interrupt you here, and I think we should just leave the others as kind of a temptation for our audience. Let's leave them in suspense. But there are some great names. I'm looking at them now. In fact, they can all go to archspm.org/cuppajoe, CUPPAJOE, and they can find out everything for themselves. But Father, thank you for introducing us to this Cup of Joe. It's fantastic. I look forward to tuning in on March the 2nd to hear your talk on Delight of Saints from St. Joe's and West St. Paul. I tell you what, though, you know what? We preceded you with a bishop. We're succeeding you with a bishop, and I'm looking to get the trifecta of blessings on this episode of Practicing Catholic. So could you give us your blessing before we say goodbye?
I would be glad to do so. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Through the intercession of St. Joseph, may God bless all of the listeners and all of those who are honoring the year of St. Joseph with the special graces that we all need in our respective places in life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Father Tom Argavishers. Thank you for joining us, as always, on the show. You're welcome. You back again really soon. Yeah, just enjoy your experience of Lent, and keep praying to St. Joseph, yeah?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Father. Again, that website is archspm.org/cuppajoe. All these talks are going to be posted, again, first Tuesday of the month at 4 p.m. They're going to be posted on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the archdiocesan channels of those three places, as well as archspm.org/cuppajoe. All right, we're going to head into our next break. When we come back, we've got Bishop DeGrude is with us, Bishop Donald DeGrude, talking with Tom Halden. Stay with us.
Who is it?
Drew Mariani.
I look at everything.
I love listening to Drew Mariani.
From politics to the faith.
The issues of the day.
How do we keep our kids Catholic?
Healthcare reform.
North Korea.
How do we make it relevant to people who right now are so disconnected from the faith and from God?
U.S. immigration policy.
We need to become the saints that God created us to be. That's what we do here every day.
Thank you so much for your show.
It just enhances your faith.
I just love it.
Tell others. Follow us on Facebook. Hit the like button on the show page. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani. Show, and you'll be able to get a lot of the articles, a lot of the discussion we talk about on the show.
It's always fun. I mean, I enjoy what I do here because every day it's something different. And I hope you will tell others about the show, and I hope you will have them listen on the station you're listening to or online at relevantradio.com or on our mobile app.
Keeping you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Stay up to date.
Weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Tammy Berthew, my producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studio in Golden Valley. Now, as many of you know, Father Donald DeGrude from our archdiocesan environs here, and you know that he was called up to be the bishop of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Tom Halden had a chance to sit down with him and catch up with him after a year in his bishop's seat, so let's have a listen.
Hello, Bishop DeGrude, and thanks for joining us on Practicing Catholic. How are you?
Hey, by the grace of God, I'm doing awesome. I hope you are as well, and all the good folks back in the St. Paul Minneapolis Diocese.
We are well. We are into Lent now. By the time folks hear this, just over a week into Lent. What's Lent like for a bishop?
Oh boy. Well, I tell you what, it's a new journey every day, just like it is for all of us in the spiritual life. What I have sensed the Lord is calling me to this year is to slow down and to take time in silence, to more time in silence, to listen to the Lord stirring within my heart. So I'm not just busy about many things, but I'm focused on what it is the Lord wants. So it's a great start. I had some time yesterday for some good reflection and prayer and just kind of refocusing, and as well today. So it's helping me refocus of how I should be using my time and energy.
Boy, that sounds pretty universal. That sounds like something we should do, not just for bishops.
You know, it's true. It's true. It's in the busy world we all live in today with so many things coming at us. I just find one needs to be really intentional about creating space to be with the Lord and to just let a more recollected spirit kind of lead and guide us. And when I do, there's so much more inner peace and I have so much clarity of what the Lord desires.
Yeah, we're oftentimes so busy about doing that we're not often just being, right?
Oh, it's so true. And if we don't get the being right, then the doing goes goofy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then we just get busy and then we don't have much to show for it in the spiritual life. Well, I want to go back about a year ago. The last time you were on the show, Patrick chatted with you. You were preparing for your ordination as Bishop of Sioux Falls. I was there. It was just a blessing to be there. It was wonderful. It was a cold, sunny South Dakota day, and it was just so joy-filled. I don't think any of us had an idea that our lives would change so much between, you know, just within a month or two after that. What's your first year been like serving during a pandemic, a summer of racial unrest and violence, and of course a contentious presidential election? What's that been like, and how much of a challenge has that added to your ministry?
You know, a great question, Tom. Depends a lot on what day, right? The days that I'm more focused on taking those things to the Lord and just surrendering what's outside of my capacities and calling upon the Lord for grace and guidance for our country and for, you know, all the people that are dealing with pandemic stuff and you know, those with the racial tension things going on, just really, you know, some of it wasn't as approximate to me. You know, we live in a more rural diocese, so the pandemic stuff in a less populated area just isn't quite as challenging. And certainly the racial tensions we didn't have the same way that you've all experienced in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area and other parts of the country. But what I would say, Tom, really to your question from the spiritual perspective, it depends a lot on how focused I keep my eyes on the Lord. So what I found through this last year, I've come to a new understanding this last year of a beautiful insight from a book Peter Kreft had written, but he speaks about surfing the wave of grace. So I like to think of it as riding the wave of grace, right? So the wave of grace, I can't control the wind, I can't control the wave, but I can respond to the wave and the grace. So the wind is the Holy Spirit. So when that Holy Spirit comes to me, am I open? Am I free? Am I trusting God? And so I'd say that there were times of greater interior peace and freedom, even in the midst of the craziness. But it all depended on how much I was keeping my eyes on the Lord. And when I take my eyes off or look at the problems, of course, then I would crash into the water, right? So I'd say it's been a year of just trying to be with the Lord and be filled with hope in the midst of many, many challenges. But the Lord was just so consistently, I got this thing, I'm here with you, I'll see you through. And so it's been a level of peace in the midst of the disturbance, as long as I keep my eyes on the Lord.
Oh, that's beautiful. But it goes back to what you mentioned, intentionality. Like, you have to be intentionally looking for God in those things. When you're out and about as much as you can during a pandemic, I know you're a man of the people, like you want to meet the flock. How do you minister to people in that? Are people needing your reminders of that intentionality and of that peace and just looking for God's graces as they come to us?
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on people's circumstances, right? So if somebody's immediately impacted by COVID, for example, or something else that's really challenging for them around the elections or any of the social unrest, whatever it might be, it depends a lot on how they come. And I think the challenge for me as a bishop and perhaps all of us, when someone comes with a weight, we sometimes can take it on as our own. And what the Lord keeps inviting me to do is to help them and for myself to relate that to Him. Because when it comes to things that I can't change and fix, pandemic as an example, whatever it might be, God's with us, even if that means sickness and family or hardship, or even if unfortunately if someone had died from it. But the Lord is with us, so it's trying to help myself and others. Okay, let's not be just so focused looking down at the problem. Let's take that problem and relate it to the Lord and receive His help, His grace, His inner peace. And that's what I find so often brings freedom to myself and to others, rather than getting disturbed in a way that's leaving God out of the picture of for example, fear. Just seeing so much fear in so many ways. But if we know from Scripture, love casts out all fear. So if our eyes are on the Lord, regardless of the storm, He's with us. It's Jesus in the boat, right? He's with us. The disciples were all terrified. They were all and trying to wake Jesus up, and He was like, "Oh, you lack faith, right? It's like, how come you're not trusting me?" So, and that's hard, of course, when the waves are big and they're coming at us, whatever those waves are. So my point is just, okay, look at the Lord. The Lord's got this thing. We just need to be with the Lord. And yes, it might mean suffering. Yes, it's going to be trials and uncertainties. But if our trust is in God, we should have great peace.
You've always had that peace. I've been blessed to know you for a few years. And we've worked together in some really trying circumstances, you as a vicar for clergy, during some really difficult things with some priests and with some situations when it came to, you know, abuse claims and things like that. That's always just stunned me and impressed me, and I've always been really thankful for that. And then to see you minister to people literally where they are, I've seen you in the back of parishes when people are really hurting, you know, after their priest had been removed for an investigation, and the tears and people storming out. And, you know, it would be just easy to be angry, you know, for those folks, but you just, I've seen you in that personal prayer. Can you talk a little bit about your style then as a bishop? You know, you're the shepherd of all the flock, not just the Catholics in Eastern South Dakota, but all the flock. Talk about your just your personal style and how maybe that's helped your transition in the last year.
Yeah, you know, first of all, every spiritual thing we have is a gift. So the interior joy and peace that I have, or the gift of prayer, that's all gift. And when we discover what the good that the Lord has for us, and we start to receive it more and more, literally what happens is you want more and more of that, of God to fill us. It's really St. Paul's awesome line where he gets to that point in his journey where he says, it's no longer I living, but Christ living in me, right? And so I found in those times that you're referring to, I find even as bishop now in this, you know, new year, I've never been a bishop before. I don't know what I'm doing, right? I got to learn all these things. Again, if I can just stay grounded in the Lord. And so for me, just a really consistent prayer life is really helpful. And a couple of the really big keys that helped me this last year were getting up earlier in the morning, taking some time of spiritual reading before I do my office of the readings, the commitments we make as clergy. If mass, my time of meditation, my rosary. In other words, once I have that well filled up and I've got kind of my direction for the day and whatever resistance I have, whatever fears I have, if I can open those up to the Lord and just receive His grace and start surrendering my plan, I find the peace settles in. And as long as I stay in that, I'm good. It's when I try to, you know, I want to do something different today, and I wrestle with that either during the day or even in prayer. That's where I lose the peace, or I'm able to stay in the peace. So the key for me has been in this new year of being a bishop is God's got this thing. And the grace He gave me in that beautiful chapel after I got the call to be a bishop was just so clear. I want you to say yes, and I'll give you everything you need. So the game changer for me, Tom, was really this confidence of the Lord. It was a gift. And so that's how I enter into this. I don't know all the answers to all these things. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of learning and whatever the future is going to be for our diocese, the needs here, the people of God. So one is just being with the Lord, because then you can be freely with the people. And secondly is to be authentically yourself. Some of the great words of wisdom from Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Cousins, and one of the survivors of clergy sexual abuse, just be yourself. One of the survivors said to me, you're a farm boy, just be a farm boy and you'll be great. And it's in a sense giving me permission to just be myself. So be myself in the Lord is how I would describe it.
Well, speaking of being a farm boy, I saw just a tremendous video on Twitter of you driving a combine during harvest time and giving literally while you were operating this large piece of machinery with your, of course, with your feedlot cap on and t-shirt and you gave a blessing to all the folks who work in agriculture. It was awesome. It got some attention here. Somebody tweeted, I think they tweeted back, they said, "More of this, please." And of course, those of us who knew you just were just so, we're just thrilled to see that. So you're a farm kid in a rural and very large diocese. How has that helped your ministry as a bishop? And how much of the diocese have you been able to visit so far? And if people don't know, if our listeners don't know, your diocese is the eastern half of South Dakota, which is a large geographic piece of land. How much have you been able to be out in this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, in the pandemic, I was pretty intentional about waiting to get out too much, certainly to respect people's own desires. Because one of my concerns was if I go and people feel like, well, I want to see the bishop maybe, or I want to be a master or whatever. So I've kind of decided, you know what, just take this time for prayer, take this time for working on administrative things to learn the diocese more, certainly get out to some things, confirmations and other things, but I'm really waiting more for the pandemic to pass. The gift of being a farm boy, there's so much natural comfort for me in being with the folks in the rural area. That's who I am. That's my background. So there's a natural confidence, a natural peace, easy to talk about. I love being outside. So that little video clip was really a prompting in my own prayer of, you know, when I seen the combines out in the field and I was driving down to Broomtree for my day of recollection, I just really had this sense that I'm supposed to look at a little video clip. And I just had a hankering to get out on a combine and I was riding with somebody. I said, at one point he said, "Hey, you want to drive?" I'm like, "Sure, I haven't driven a combine for years and it's not the style that drives by itself." So I was like, "Sure, let's give it a try." So I had a blast. I think we had some good laughs as I was trying to learn how to run the combine. But it was a lot of fun. But it really was. It was just a prompting my heart to just let all the people know that I've been praying for them and they've been on my heart as they're working in the harvest.
Well, and I encourage people just to Google that. Just Google search Bishop DeGroote combine harvest blessing, and you will find it. It's great. It's great to see. In the last couple of minutes that we have left, how can we pray for you? You know, how can we be part of your ministry? You know, there are so many people here with whom you interacted over the years in your priesthood here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and the many roles that you played. And of course, most recently as pastor at St. John the Baptist in Savage. I know the folks down there hold a special place in your heart, as do all your parishioners. But how can we be part of your ministry, whether it's Lent or beyond? Because we know that we are certainly in your heart and in your prayers here in the Archdiocese.
Yeah, I think I'd put it in a particular way that if the good people of God would continue to pray that I would be a healthy, happy, and holy bishop. That's the key. So if my eyes are on the Lord, all is going to be good. He'll provide for the good people of God. Then they can be healthy, happy, and holy. So I just put it as simple as that. Just pray that I'm healthy, happy, and holy, and for the good people of God to receive what the Lord wants, particularly his beautiful gift of love for them.
You seem so joy-filled. You know, the bishop's job is not an easy one, even in the best of times. And obviously you talked about it already. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, it's just remarkable. And I think it just gives us such great hope for the church that we have shepherds who are with their sheep, who are joy-filled proclaimers of the gospel. And it's just great. It's great to talk with you. And you seem to be enjoying what God has given you.
You know what? Whenever I'm doing what God wants, I'm happy. And it's just allowing God sometimes to turn our worlds totally upside down, totally different than we envisioned or thought it was going to be, and just ride the wave of grace. And it's amazing. It's beautiful, incredible things happen because I'm not doing them. It's God in and through me. And so, but yet being very human about it, right? It's like, well, this is who I am. This is what you get. And okay, being free with that. So it's all gift. And it is. It's been a lot of joy because it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful for that.
Oh, you and Peter Kreeft, that wave of grace. We love that. That's going to be our many of our prayer, I think, as we move through this Lenten season. We're just about out of time, Bishop. Would you please conclude this interview with a blessing?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I ask your grace and blessing upon all the good people of God in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Pray for all the consecrated men and women, the religious sisters, and all of those consecrated women and men. We pray for all the clergy. We pray for all the good people of God. We just pray for the renewal of your Holy Spirit, especially through these trying times that we've been in, that they might be encouraged, that all of our hearts might turn up to you so that we can receive your love and allow it to flow through us and to put a proper perspective in our mind and our disposition of life. And may the blessed Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Donald DeGruyt, Bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, former priest of the Archdiocese and a friend to so many. Thank you for sharing your time with us today, and we hope you can come back on the show again soon.
It's been a gift. Anytime.
All right. Wonderful, isn't it, to hear from Bishop DeGruyt? Some great things going on out there. Yeah, take a look at that video. It's great. We'll try to post it on some of our own outlets here for Practicing Catholic, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, somewhere like that. We'll see if we can get that up there for you. All right. As always, Paul and I have some great things coming up after the break for you. Some great ways to live out your faith during this Lent. So stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's just, it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
And welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hopefully, the holy season of Lent is helping you seek out new ways of growing in your faith. Just remember, if these new ways include interacting with others, wear your mask. It's that simple. For alternatives to in-person mask guidance on the COVID vaccines, online resources for deepening your Lenten experience, and more, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
You can always hear daily mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Start your day in prayer and reflection with Daybreak at 4 a.m., listen to Daily Mass at noon and 7:30, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew, Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m., Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
One great way to deepen your Lenten experience and stay connected to our local churches through the Archdiocesan Synod at Home series. This series takes helpful videos, tips, and tools for growing in faith and pairs them with family-friendly activities. Find weekly videos and materials posted on archspm.org/synod. And while you're there, check out the Praying with Scripture videos Bishop Cousins talked about on the show today.
As we heard on the show today, Cup of Joe is a series of 10 talks by 10 theologians on the 10 wonders of St. Joseph, taking place at 10 locations in our archdiocese entrusted to the patronage of our spiritual father. These talks will premiere on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram first Tuesday of the month, March through December, 4 p.m., just in time for your afternoon coffee. Join in this Tuesday, March 2nd, for Father Tom Argavichus presenting St. Joseph as Delight of Saints. For more information, visit archspm.org/cupofjoe.
And check out the Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes each Friday during Lent, following the 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross. This year's theme is St. Joseph, Model for Christians. Information is available at archspm.org/events.
And to stay updated on all things Practicing Catholic, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Tune in to Relevant Radio 1330 a.m., Fridays at 9 p.m., Saturdays at 1 p.m., and Sundays at 2 p.m.
And to find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Instagram, search Practicing Catholic Show. Give us a follow. Find Practicing Catholic on Twitter by searching at @PCatholicShow and on Facebook at facebook.com/rediscoverfaith. And in case you want to send us an email, it's practicingcatholicshow@archspm.org.
All good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm excited about St. Joseph. I'm excited about Lent. There's all sorts of great things going on.
That'll be a great series, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that very much so. And speaking of great series, we got another great show coming up next week here on Practicing Catholic. Next time, Father Daniel Griffith is with us. He's the liaison for restorative justice and healing, and he's going to discuss a new course on restorative justice at the University of St. Thomas. Also, Father Jonathan Kelly speaks about his new role as rector of St. John Vianney Seminary, and Sister Marianne Schainzer discusses the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office's Winter Day of Renewal happening March 13th. All that's coming up next time on Practicing Catholic. In the meantime, folks, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.